destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to my show, the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. This is Robert Lee Camp, the author of Love Cards, Cards of Your Destiny, and Your Birthday, Your Card, among other books. I never dreamed when I was young that I would actually be an author, even though when I was in elementary school, I used to write stories. They weren't, they were fiction, of course, mostly science fiction. But I published my first book, and it was on computers, actually, in the early 80s. And that got me started. So here I am. Great to be here. I hope you guys are having a great Monday. We have a really interesting show tonight. For those of you who are new, I have a talk in the beginning, you know, after the announcements. And after that, we open up the phone lines. Around 7:30 Pacific, the phone lines will open up. You can call in and ask a question. Bring your birthday, your name. Call in, give Seth your name, birthday, and where you're from. And then when you're up, we'll have a chat. Today is February 16th. People born today are Aquarians. It's funny, they use the word Aquarian because Aquarius is a bisexual sign. Not only that, people who are Aquarians are kind of strange. They're curious or interesting, different, you might say. Today is a 9 of diamonds and a 4 of diamonds, one of the few birthdays of the year that's a double diamond. This is a birthday where you have to work hard at what you do to get to really make it work. I mean, people who are born today are probably hardworking at whatever they do. If they're successful, it's because they worked hard at it. We have people like Patty Andrews, who's quite old right now, 91. We have actor Jeremy Bullock and Pete Postlewaite. Let's see, LeVar Burton, who used to be on the Star Trek Next Generation show. I used to watch him on there. He was Geordi LaForge, rapper Ice-T, actress Lisa Loring, John McEnroe, tennis Hall of Fame rock musician Andy Taylor, and Dave Lombardo of Slayer, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, singer Sam Salter, rapper Lupe Fiasco, and actor Mike Weinberg, who's only 16 years old. Happy birthday to all you guys. People born today is a 9 birthday. 9 is you have to give, and 4 means you have to work. So, you know, you're either really unhappy if you're this birthday, or you're working hard and your life's good. There's no kind of like in between with a day like today. So if your birthday is today, I'd be happy to give you a reading. Call in on the show when the time comes, and I'll be happy to talk with you. Our class, which is next Saturday, is completely full. We've let a few people, extra people come in, and now we're up to our limit. We're having a class about how to do great card readings, and it's going to be really fun. Maybe I might record it or something. Those of you who are into the cards, who've been reading my books, most of you already know this, but all these shows are recorded, and there's just a wealth of information on these shows that I've recorded for over a year now. There's not just the topics, but all the different call-in people. You get a chance to hear the readings and how I do them. I usually speak out the name of the birthday of the person so you can look up their cards at the same time. So people who call in tonight, you know that there's a lot of people listening. They're probably looking at your cards themselves and looking for things that they might find interesting in your spreads. In this system, there are yearly spreads. First of all, your birthday defines you as one of the 53 cards in the deck. 52 cards plus the Joker. If you're a joker, we can't read you. A joker can be any card in the deck they choose, so they cannot be read. So we don't read for jokers. We just kind of say, good luck. The other 52 cards have yearly spreads that tell what's going to happen in their life every year. And not only that, every 52 days of the year, there are different cards that are there. And these cards represent events, experiences, people, situations, all kinds of things. Pretty much everything is in there, like moves, marriage, divorce, money, health, getting better, getting worse, mental things, job stuff, any kind of love thing you can imagine, love triangles, secret love affairs, marriage, divorce, friendship, anything. It's all in there in the Book of Destiny system, in the form of cards, which all have meanings, and all have different meanings depending on which period of the year they appear in or which position they appear in. So even though this might sound complex to you right now, it's actually not that complex at all. Most people can learn this and be making readings for themselves in an hour or less time after reading Cards of Your Destiny book. So if you have an inclination to learn to do readings in a system that is extremely accurate, and extremely useful, more so than anything out there, I dare to say, and I've tried them all, the system beats everything else out there, hands down, in terms of its usability, its accuracy, its consistency, and its meaningfulness. You will get more out of this quicker than anything else you can find. So, having said all that, let's get on with our show. Tonight's topic is about attitude. I was thinking about this today, and, you know, I think that in this country, probably one of the biggest problems in this country today is complaining, people complaining all the time. We make it a national pastime almost to complain about things in life. And there's a lot to that, really. When you take a closer look at even just complaining, there's things that you can understand about that. You know, a situation happens, we don't like it, we get upset, we get negative about the situation or about life. And if you're not careful, you can sort of become a sort of always chronically complaining kind of person. You can be somebody that is basically always complaining. That can become actually part of who you are. It can become your identity. Let's say it that way. You know, I'm a person that complains. And you may not even see it yourself, but other people around you will notice it. No, they may or may not say something. Most people won't say anything to you. They'll just say it behind your back because nobody wants to confront anybody in this, you know, in our world today. Everybody's a little bit afraid of confrontation or just avoids confrontation as much as possible. Okay? So, but there's this thing called, there's this thing happening called complaining. And you can call it bitching, whining, ragging. Complaining, though, is the best term, I think, for it. And basically, it's an attitude. It's a way of looking at things. Complaining boils down to being like just a way of looking at things in life. You know, it's a place from where we stand. There's an expression in some interpersonal growth seminars about where are you standing. So to be complaining is to be standing in a place where you see things are not right and you want to say something about it. Okay? And it's critical. It's always critical. There's a negativity to it. It's negative. It's not positive constructive criticism. We're not talking about that. We're talking about complaining. You know, most of the time, when somebody complains, they're actually not interested in doing anything about it. Like, they don't really have an interest in changing the situation. Like, they won't, for example, if a person's in a bad relationship and they're complaining about it, they're not really intending to leave that relationship, which is really amazing when you think about it. All they want to do is kind of sit there and gripe about it. They don't want to change the situation. They just want to say something negative about the situation. Real interesting how that works when you think about it, you know. Because a person could change the situation. They could change it. They could do something about it if they wanted to, but they don't. They just choose to make complaints about it. So, you know, it's a place. Now, here's the thing now, and it's interesting, in the cards, we find that people who are twos are, that's one of their traits. We kind of see that associated with twos a lot. People whose birth card or ruling card is a two tend to be more actively complaining than other cards in the deck. And I'm not exactly sure why. I know there's a lot of intelligence with twos. There's always a lot of intelligence. But it seems to be intelligence that goes to the negative. So I'm sure there's a reason for it. I just haven't explored it enough to know exactly what that reason is. But you'll find that these highly intelligent people often become the biggest complainers. And this is an attitude that they carry around with them, and it affects their life. And it doesn't affect their life in a particularly positive way. I mean, they're not getting a lot of benefits from this attitude that they're carrying around with them, this negative attitude of complaining. At least not on the surface. We don't think, well, you never think, well, complaining, does that have a benefit? Is there some reason why somebody would actually, are they getting something from complaining? And the answer is actually yes. As I looked into this deeper, I saw that there is a payoff for complaining. And the biggest payoff that I see in complaining is that we get to be right. We get to be right, you know? Like if I'm really smart, for example, and I look at something and I found it to be lacking or incomplete or bad in some way, and I complain about it, everybody gets to say, yeah, you're right about that. Because I've examined it very carefully, and with all my mental power, I've deduced that this thing is actually bad or defective or something. It could be a person, it could be a situation, it could be the traffic laws, it could be the way a restaurant is run, it could be the way any company is run, it could be the government, it could be my spouse or somebody I know, it could be my next door neighbor, the post office man. They all messed up. And I get to be right by saying that they are, see? And whether you realize it or not, there's a big payoff in being right about something. Whenever we get to be right about something, we always, on a deep, unconscious level, we feel better about ourselves. We feel better about ourselves because we, in the process of saying something is wrong with something else, we have elevated ourselves. Our sense of ourselves has become elevated. This is the payoff of having a negative attitude. The payoff of having a negative attitude is we get to feel superior to that which we are criticizing. And that strengthens our sense of self, which makes us feel a little better. And you'll notice that when people aren't feeling good, they complain more. We all complain more when we're not feeling good, and we're complaining to feel better. It doesn't really work. It works like a temporary fix, you know? It works like a temporary fix, but it doesn't work long term. It has a negative repercussion itself. We become a sourpuss, so we get a look on our face that's kind of negative. We're not happy. We sort of carry a weight around on us. It can affect our health as well, negativity like that. It affects other people around us, negativity. Because if I have to make everybody else wrong and me right to feel good about myself, well, I've just made a bunch of people wrong. I've created a lot of negative energy in my world around me. So attitude is everything. You know, I remember one of my favorite movies of all time is Groundhog Day. And there's a scene where he's at a bar with a couple of the guys, and he's kind of going on and on about how bad things are in his life. And one of the guys there looks at him and goes, yeah, some guys are like a glass half full kind of guy. And I think you're one of those glass half empty kind of guys. You know, just a quick little line in the movie. It didn't really, it was just illustrating basically how he was being in the movie, and it was true in the movie. So this is it, you know? Like, the other thing about complaining that we have to see is that when we're doing it out loud. I mean, there's internal complaining, there's, you know, looking at a situation and just thinking, oh, this is terrible in your mind. You know, that's one thing. And it's a whole other thing when you speak it out loud. I don't think many of us realize just how powerful it is when we speak out loud negative stuff, you know, the spoken word. See, there's the thought form, which is a subtle energy. It's a subtle form of energy. There's three levels of objects, you might call them. There's thoughts, words, and things. See? And each of those, the thought is the most subtle. Words are more gross and more powerful in a way. And then finally the things out here, you know, like you could think, oh, I don't like that person. And then you could say it out loud, I don't like that person. That's a little more intense. And then you could pick up a rock and throw it at the person, and that's a little bit even more intense. So this is like just a crude example of the three levels of manifestation, you might say. But thought, speaking out loud is pretty powerful. So if I habitually speak out loud negatively in the way I'm suggesting here, I'm really putting a lot of garbage into the world, you know, a lot more than even just thinking it. Not that thinking it is actually necessarily good either, but when it's spoken out loud, it becomes even more powerful, more potent, you might say, this negativity that I'm putting out to the universe. And each of us is responsible. Ultimately, we're all responsible for the world that we're in. So this whole thing about an attitude, about a negative attitude, and looking at life, is like I create my world to be, if I'm doing that, I'm creating my world to be a negative place. I'm creating my world to be a place that's not very good, not happy, not fulfilling, not satisfying. There's a sense of unhappiness in my world. I'm constantly unhappy about how things are in my world. This is the thing. So there's a payoff for being a complainer and for being negative, having a negative attitude. But there's also a huge liability from having that. And we basically destroy our own happiness, push people away, alienate ourselves from other people around us, make our world a little smaller, and reinforce the notion that we can't have what we want in life. We are actually reinforcing the notion that we can't really have a life that we really love and want to be in. So all of those things are, you know, the what it costs us to be negative, to have a negative attitude. And it's really interesting, you know, I think if you catch yourself being negative about anything in your life, that, you know, just catch yourself in the act of complaining. You can always look around and notice that at that very moment, there is something good in your life. There's something good there. You're just not focusing on that. You're not choosing to make that important enough to speak out. It's more important to you in that moment to speak out what you don't like. Very interesting choice. But there's always a choice there. There's always an opportunity there to say something positive, to affirm something positive. So imagine taking the power of complaining and reversing it so that now you're speaking out what you like about your life. And just imagine that for a moment. Instead of saying, you know, oh, look how fucked up this is. Excuse my language, I shouldn't say that on the radio. Look how messed up this is. Look how bad this is. Look how whatever this is. Instead of that, imagine going out and going, you know, and looking at your life or whatever situation you're in and saying, I really love this about my life. I really love this about this place that I'm at or what I'm doing or whatever it is that's in front of you. You know, and start saying, what do you love about it? What are the things that you really love about what you're doing, where you're at, what's going on around you, who you're with? I mean, think about it. How do you think the people around you feel when you're complaining all the time? Imagine how much greater they would feel if they saw you sort of just picking up the pace and being happy and grateful for things around you. Imagine the difference in that. Just a simple act of changing one's perspective. It's not like either one of those is false or true. You know, it's like, it's not like, you know, the thing about complaining is there's always evidence to support the notion. Like, if I'm complaining about something, there's some evidence there that I use to make me right. I say, look, right there's the evidence. This is really messed up. You can't tell me otherwise. Right there it is in front of my face. But at the same time, there's always evidence of something good. There's always evidence of something good. The question is, are we focusing on that? You know, what are we focusing on in that moment? Are we focusing on the good or the bad? So it doesn't mean that you're wrong because you're focusing on the good. It just means that you've chosen to put your attention in a different dimension. I don't like to use the word dimension. That's kind of been overused in the spiritual community. It's become almost like a sales term for all these spiritual things. You know, a dimensional shift. Okay? But everything is right here, right now. We can be happy right now. We can look around at what we have, and there's always an opportunity to speak up and affirm something that's good that's happening in our life. There's always an opportunity for that. We all have that opportunity all the time. There's an opportunity for that anytime we choose. Right now. And imagine if you had a practice, a daily practice of saying to your partner or to people you work with, every time you see them, wow, I'm so glad I'm here. I get to spend time with you. I'm so glad I get to do this job that I'm doing. I'm so glad that I get to pay my bills. I get to whatever. There's always a benefit to whatever you're doing anyway. You've chosen it because there's a benefit to it. Why not affirm that? Why not speak that out loud? Why not be a positive force in life? I mean, seriously, people who complain a lot often have poverty problems for the same reason. They're not taking in what's already there. They're pushing away what is being given to them. You know, like I pick up money on the ground, you know, and that's a thing I recommend in the Big Money Book. Always pick up money when you find it. Well, some people would say, I'm not picking that up. It's only a penny. That's like a complaint. I'm like, a penny? I'm so happy. I get happy about a penny. So find every reason and every excuse to be happy about things in your life. And watch as the happiness grows in your life by doing that. Watch as the people around you and the situation, it can magically change right before your eyes. You know, you think you have it all figured out. Everything's really messed up. You got proof. And yet everything can shift instantly with the changing of our attitude. And that's the power that we have. It's a God-given power. It's the power of choice, ultimately. The power of choice. Making a choice to look at what's already there that's good. It's not about making something up. It's not about dreaming up something that's not there and trying to make that real. It's about seeing what's there, seeing the good in it, seeing the reason that you chose it, being grateful for that because you're doing it because you're getting something out of it that you want, or changing it if you don't, see? There's a way to go through life that where you don't have to complain anymore. You can either affirm it and accept it, or you can just say you can change it. But it can all be done without any complaining. No negative conversation about it is required. Accept it, love it, or change it. The choice is yours. I mean, it's always our choice at any point along the way. And every once in a while you'll meet a person who is just so, you know, wonderfully positive. You'll meet people in different places in life. It might be somebody on the phone, even a telemarketer. It could be just be a technical support person at some website or something. You'll meet somebody, get them on the phone, and you just feel like uplifted by their attitude. And you'll feel that, and you'll think, wow, that feels really good. I'd like to have more of that in my life. I'd like to feel that way. I'd like to be able to respond that way to situations in my life. Well, you can't. Everybody has this power. All of us have the power to be just like that. And we can start right now. You can start now. You know, be aware. Be aware of your speaking. This is your power, your God-given power, to speak things into existence. How are you using that power? Are you using it for positive in your life? Or can you upgrade your speaking to a better level? It's something we all can work on. It's not, it's really more like something that we all deal with on one level or not. You know, my birth card, the Queen of Diamonds, is known to be negative. You know, we get kind of pessimistic, you might say, is the word. It's associated with us, and you can see that because it's in the Saturn line. The Queen of Diamonds sits in the Saturn line and the Mercury card. So you combine Saturn and Mercury together and you get a card where there can be negative mental stuff going on. So even for me, it's been, I've had to really work on it. Very pessimistic, very complaining at different points in my life. It didn't come natural to me. It came natural to complain and to whine and to make myself better than the situation or other people in my life by complaining about them and being right about it. That was a big thing of mine. Absolutely. Didn't get me anything I wanted. So I'm going to close this discussion with one saying that I remember that's really powerful, and that is, would you rather be right about something, or would you rather get what you really want in your life? It's a great question to ask yourself. Is it more important that you're right about everything, or would it be more important to you to have all your dreams come true and to get the things that you really want in your life? Would you give up being right? Let's put it that way. Would you give up being right in order to have everything that you really want in life? Good question. Good thing to think about, to ponder upon, and see how that rings for you. Okay? All right. We're going to take our first break tonight, and after the break, the phone lines are open, and after this break, we're going to take your calls. If you want to call, now is the time. We're going to start out this evening with the first song. Tonight will be Om Namah Shivaya from my CD, Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a really powerful ancient yogic chant. We'll be back in about 5 minutes with your calls. Be right back.
Shivaya.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Om Namah Shivaya. I consider that kind of a warrior chant, you know. It has that kind of a marching feeling to it, like warriors going off to battle. That was kind of the feeling I... See, Shiva is considered the god, one of the gods of destruction in ancient India. So the phone lines are open. We have one caller from Nova Scotia. Her name is Jeanette. Her birthday is January 27, 1940. Are you there, Jeanette?
Yes, I am, Robert. How are you this evening?
Hello. Hello. How are you? I'm here.
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, can you hear me, Robert?
I can hear you very well.
Hello? Good. Okay.
I can hear you. I can hear you. You got to turn, you have to turn your radio off, your computer radio off.
Okay. It's off, Robert.
Okay, now you can hear me in real time.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call this evening. I'm just calling. First of all, I'm thinking of making a change in my career, and I was wondering if you could possibly tell me what my year looks ahead for me as far as career change or what you could see in my cards for the remainder of this year. I'm certainly feeling a lot of energy from the planets because I am an Aquarius, and I can certainly feel the impact of what's been happening in my sign the last few weeks and so on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of planets in Aquarius right now, too, you know, besides the sun.
Yes, there is.
And but this, for you, in the card system, your year has just begun, and so it's laid out in front of you. And this is the year. This is the year for you to make the change that you're talking about. In my opinion, it's definitely going to happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be good, though the hard part will be letting go of people.
Yes. Okay.
But, you know,
letting go of people in general or in career-wise?
Well, letting go of your career on some level means letting go of people. And that's what I see.
Right.
Yeah. As being a challenge for you, being a little more challenging because of that.
Yes.
Nothing overwhelming or anything like that, you know, but you need to change, and this is the year to do it. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, good. Good. Well, the career ahead of me, what I would like to do is, it's going to be something for myself. Like in the past, I've been working for others, but this is something that I really want to do for myself.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, yeah, but what I see indicated here is that you letting go of what you have and starting over is all blessed for you this year.
Well,
nothing
thank you,
but blessings. Nothing but blessings surrounds that, okay? Yeah.
Thank you, and Jupiter's there, maybe.
Yeah. What's your biggest worry about? What would be your biggest concern in this whole situation?
Well, no, I'm not concerned, really, because I just feel very, on a deep level that I'm, you know, it's time for this change. In the past, I have been more or less, I've been a hospice worker, and, I've helped many people make their transition, but what I really want to do is reach more people, in more of a teaching, healing, way, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, not just working on the one-on-one, but helping in a bigger field, like helping more people and doing it more on a teaching.
Well, that lines up perfectly with your birthday. You know, it lines up perfectly with you being a king of clubs and a six of clubs. The king of clubs is a teacher. The six of clubs is someone who shows other people, takes them to a higher place. See?
That's exactly what I want to do. I know I've been doing it, but I want to do it in a bigger way. My goal is to have a center, to have a place where people can come in and heal self. I mean, I don't heal anyone, but I would like to be able to help them to do that.
Yeah. So maybe you'll have people there who specialize in certain things who can really help. You know, that sounds beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful,
yes.
beautiful idea, beautiful plan.
Yeah.
So don't be concerned. You need to act as if everything is taken care of for you and move
yes.
forward with your plans, knowing that it's all in God's hands, basically, you know?
Yes. Well, thank you. I just am so appreciative to hear you and to have this time to spend to share with you, and I thank you very kindly, and I give you all my blessings, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. Thanks for calling in and being my guest tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, good night. Okay, I don't see anybody waiting to talk to me, so we're going to have to take another break, and we're going to listen to a version of a song that we haven't heard lately. It's called Krishna Hare Krishna, but we're going to listen to the long version of this. So if you're going to call in, now's the time, or our show will end early tonight. We'll be right back after Krishna Hare Krishna. That was Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hope you enjoyed that. And thank you all for calling in, those of you who did. Now we have callers. Now we may continue, and we'll start out with my friend Joey, who seems to call every week. She's from New Mexico now, and her birthday is April 13th, 1968. Are you there, Joey?
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Good. How are things going?
Pretty good. I have a quick question. I was studying my PRC, the ASA Club, and I noticed that every other year I have the Seven of Diamond in the Uranus-Neptune position.
Yep. Yep, that's right. And the Two of Hearts will have that, too, every other year.
Really?
Yeah, you can check it out. Look in the book under Two of Hearts, and you'll see that both the Ace of Clubs and Two of Hearts have that repeating pattern. You'll also find repeating patterns with the Jack of Hearts and the Seven of Diamonds and the Nine of Hearts.
Wow.
And this is because these are all part of the special family called the fixed and semi-fixed cards,
mm-hmm.
which behave, you'd have to sort of study the advanced methods of the system so you understand how the spreads are derived, and then you could see exactly how and why that takes place.
Okay.
But it sort of adds to the meaning, it sort of explains a little bit of the fixed quality you have with the Ace of Clubs and all the other cards when you see how they have these repeating patterns that are, you know, it creates a somewhat of a limitation, you might say. See?
Mm-hmm.
It could be considered a limitation in some ways because they don't move around as much or to as many different places as most of the cards do. They don't get the same range of influences. And
right.
So this is where we see that fixed nature show up. So, you know, your Ace of Clubs has a very fixed quality to it. Has anybody ever told you you're stubborn?
Not really. I pride myself on being very open to everyone's, you know, whims and ways, because I now understand that everyone has their own destiny, so... I'm pretty open.
Yeah, well, you might, but there's going to be an area in your life where you're very fixed. I don't know exactly where it shows up for you, but I'm sure you have it. And it's not necessarily in the area you're thinking of. It may be in a different area.
There's a possibility. I never said never.
We'll have to talk to your friends.
Yeah.
It's a little hard sometimes to see ourselves.
Well, I believe what I believe, and, you know, until you give me a reason why I shouldn't believe it, then there it is.
There it is. There it is, right there.
There it is.
There's your fixed quality right there.
There's my fixed quality. Okay.
Which know what? It's neither positive nor negative. It's just the way it is. It has a good side.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I work extra hard at being conscious, considering, you know, I'm an Aries with the Scorpio moon and the Sagittarius rising, so I have a lot of, you know, the Eight of Diamond thing going on, so I have a lot of opportunities to be mean and stubborn and, you know, so I really work at not being that.
Well, stubborn doesn't necessarily mean being mean. It means, though, being fixed about something, you know, having a fixed mind about it. In other words, and I'm very stubborn. I mean, I am very rigid when it comes to certain things. I just am, okay? And I've seen it my whole life. I don't fight with that quality. It's just part of who I am in this lifetime. It's very fixed, though, and sometimes it will be a problem, you know, when there's flexibility being called upon and I don't have it to give.
Yeah, well, my dad is an Ace of Club, and he has a cold right now, and if I say, do you want some vitamin C? No. Do you want some soup? No. Do you want some juice? No. And then 10 minutes later, on his own, he'll call me and say, can you bring me some juice? So
yeah.
I'm like, is this a man thing, or is this an Ace of Club thing? Like,
no, it's not. It happens to both sexes.
Well, he,
but,
he,
you
he
know,
really
your
does.
Father is... That's probably where you got it from, you know, from him.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I'm his, my planetary ruling card is his birth card, and my mom is an Eight of Diamond planetary ruling card, and that's my birth card.
There you go. You got the whole package. You got a little bit of both of them.
I'm half of him and half of her.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually. That's unusual and interesting,
Yes, I understand them better than they think I do.
Yeah, you probably do. I would think so. Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so I have to deal with the seven of diamonds for the rest of my life then.
Yeah, every other year you have it, and your karma card, the two of hearts, has it as well. So, and you might want to look at all the spreads of the fixed cards and the semi-fix, and see how there's repeating patterns in all of them. It'll kind of sort of like show you how what it's like in the neighborhood where you live.
Okay.
This is your hood, see?
Well, I mean, once I overcome it, which I'm working, desperately to overcome, that negative aspect, then I guess I'll be good. And once I...
Well, you don't have to really overcome it. You just have to, if you can just be conscious about it, you can have more of a choice about it, so that you can be flexible when it's the time to be flexible. It's good to be fixed sometimes, There's a good side to that.
Yeah,
a person who's got a fixed mind is somebody who really stands by their beliefs. See?
Right.
That has a positive expression. It's not all negative by any means.
Yeah, I don't perceive it as negative at all.
It's just that there's times when flexibility is a better path. You see, that's all.
Yeah.
So just being aware of that and just being mindful of it is all you need to do. I mean, if I wasn't so stubborn about the cards, I never would have gotten this far with the card work.
Right.
If I wasn't so fixed about it and so persistent about what I felt and saw was true, I never would have gotten as far as I've gotten.
I agree. I've been through three of your books already because they're torn and tattered and dog-eared and, they're completely worn out. That's how much I love it. I don't know how I can open up a store or a clinic or a website or something to make money off of it because I love it that much. It's the only thing that I have passion for.
That's pretty amazing. Well, you should consider being in our fellowship then.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Definitely.
Yeah,
thinking
go
about
on the website and read about it and send me an email sometime. We'll talk about it.
All right.
Well, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
All right. Good night, Joey. Bye-bye. And speaking of the Magi Fellowship, which is our group, our next caller is actually someone who's just applying, I believe. Nicole, are you there?
I am.
It's great to have you call in.
Thank you. It's good to talk.
It's going to take me a day or so to get this worked out with your mentor and everything, okay?
Well, yeah, that's fine. No hurries. I'd rather you take your time and do it right.
Yeah, I want to do it right so that it's the best possible. So would you like to ask me a question tonight?
I would. I'm curious because of the whole Scorpio thing and having the two planetary ruling cards. should I consider the double five thing as almost as strong, if not stronger, than my birth card in a certain sense?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, you're an Ace of Clubs. By the way, I should tell everybody your birthday. You're November 19th, 1989. Your birth card is an Ace of Clubs, but your ruling cards are both fives, five of clubs and five of spades. So, yeah, you're a double five. I mean, that's a lot of five energy in one place.
Yeah. Plus the five
so you
of
have
that.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Well, that's the five of clubs. It has the five of hearts.
Yeah.
So the five of clubs is like having two fives already.
Yeah.
And you've got then the five of spades to add onto the mix. So you have, you must be, I don't know you that well yet, but you must be an extremely restless person in some ways.
I'm sorry?
You must be an extremely restless person in some ways.
Oh, yes, incredibly. I have a very, I embrace change almost as much as, I'm sorry?
I was going to say the whole thing about freedom, too, would be probably really big for you.
Yeah, definitely a big factor.
Yeah, so those, and that all comes from the five, and then you having basically three out of four of the fives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it probably makes for an interesting life.
Yes, to say the least. I'm only 19, but I can say it's been an interesting life.
Yeah, see,
definitely
fives never have a boring, they never have a boring life, fives.
Well, that's
there's
good
always
to know.
Something happening, you know, always something going on. There's always something happening. That's the best way I can say it, I guess. You know.
Yeah. Well,
When you're reading your yearly spreads, Nicole, I suggest you read the Five of Clubs more than the Five of Spades. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Because
that helps
the Five of Spades is your Pluto card, and for Scorpios, they generally have to evolve up to that. Over the course of their life, you know.
Okay.
It's like even though it's not really much different than a Five of Clubs, it does have some differences, you know.
Yeah.
So it's better to read in the yearly spreads to just read the Five of Clubs for the most part.
Okay.
You know, I think you'll find
I have a lot of yearly spreads to keep track of, so that helps a lot.
Yeah, you know, you can look yourself. You can look in both spreads and see. You look in your past and check it out and see, well, is this one really, is this stuff really happening to me or not? I think you'll find that the Five of Clubs stuff is happening more than the Five of Spades stuff.
Yeah, I have already found that a lot.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Oh, great. But you're going to be a great addition to our fellowship, and I can't wait for you to start be part of the group. So we'll get you hooked up here in a couple days. I had to send some emails out, and I'm waiting to hear back from some people.
Okay.
Did you have any other questions tonight? Did you have a personal question about your spreads this year?
Well, I just actually recently broke up with my boyfriend of 2 years because we're kind of going in different directions, and I'm taking it a lot easier than he is. He's a Three of Diamonds, the March 20th is his birthday. And he does not respond to endings very well, even though I think I've determined that he is a Pisces, so I'm pretty sure he's the Nine of Spades planetary ruling card. But he is having a really hard time with the idea of letting me go, and I was wondering if you had any advice as far as how maybe I could help him, you know, move on and... You know, because I'm with the double fives, I like change. It's a good thing for me. I embrace it. Whereas for him, it's been a little bit more difficult.
Well, see, Three of Diamonds is one of these cards that they have a lot more relationship karma than most cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's considered one of the two hardest cards to be in the whole deck. All right.
Okay.
Did you know that about them?
I kind of picked that up reading the love card thing about him. It seemed to make sense. And based on his attitude about it, he feels like he can't keep a girl around long enough, you know, that he just wants to get married and have kids. And he feels like, you know, there's something about him that he can't keep a girl around, even though it wasn't really him that made, you know, our relationship end. It was more my changing in values and what I want out of a relationship, and being so young, not ready to settle down, where he's almost 23, so he's, you know, and part of his entire life has just been getting married and having kids is what he's wanted his whole life, and so it's been a little bit more difficult for him to...
He hasn't gotten to the point yet where he has a lot of awareness of himself, see?
Yeah.
He doesn't realize that he's a big problem.
I know. Unfortunately,
he has himself painted as the victim right now, but that's never going to get him very far. You know, being the victim isn't going to really help him make progress. And he's not the victim, but he still believes he's the victim. So until he gets beyond that point and is willing to take a look at himself, he'll be playing the victim role. See?
Yeah.
And it'll be a very sad thing. We can all cry, you know. It's going to be very sad. You understand?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And your best thing is just to be loving but clear, you know. And I'm sure that's what you're doing.
Okay.
You're being loving but clear. Like, you're clearly moving on.
Okay, thank
don't
you.
Don't we all cry when we don't get what we want? You know, whatever it is, you know. That's human.
Well, it's still hard to watch someone you love cry, but when it's the best thing for them, it makes it a little bit easier.
Well, you know, you have to know, if it's the best thing for you, it's usually the best thing for them, too.
Yeah, well, I really believe it is the best thing for both of us. I just wish I could help him do that.
Well, you probably wish that you didn't have to go through all that crying stuff with him, you know, because that's hard to be with.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's hard to see somebody suffer, even though the suffering is something that they created themselves. It's still hard to be with that. Hard to, you know, be part of that. But it won't last forever. I mean, it's not, if somebody wants something from us, like in a relationship, and then you break up, it's not, don't even think that you can be friends afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, we already talked to you. We can't, he told me that he can't see me and speak to me until he can get over me because he'll just want me back.
Right.
And I respect that,
exactly.
Even though it's still really difficult.
Well, yeah, you got to be willing to let him go because, you know, every time he sees you, it'll just be a reminder of what he's not getting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't want to torture him like that, do you?
No, I don't.
So you got to really cut him loose. See?
Okay.
You got to cut him loose so that he can, and you know, someday when he starts to see, he really thinks he wants to get married, but he obviously doesn't because he picks people like you who are not interested in that.
Yeah. I was. I mean, to be fair, when I got into the relationship, that's what I wanted. That's what I thought I wanted. But you know, obviously, being pretty restless and changeable, you know, that's changed, and that's, you know, what.
Well, you might have wanted it for a week or something.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I didn't understand when we got together this part of my personality that, you know, it's so changeable and that you know, it's so terrified, I guess, of commitment and, you know, shies away from it so much.
Yeah,
so now that I understand
it
makes a little bit clearer for me.
I think all fives, you know, have a fear of losing their freedom, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Freedom to do whatever they want. And now, if they're not aware of it, they'll feel like a victim. See, your boyfriend, he's a three of diamonds. He's got all these odd-numbered cards in his spread, too. He can't make up his mind, either. He thinks he knows. He thinks he really knows what he wants. But he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, you know.
It's kind of what I gathered, but he's got a flawless story. It's really hard to find. And I've known him. You've been with him for 2 years, and it's been almost impossible for me to find any hole in that, you know, professed desire to get married and have kids. But I know it's got to be there because
he
chose me.
Yeah, I have hundreds of clients, and not hundreds, actually thousands, and I've had so many women who are like unmarriageables, you know, like three of clubs and stuff, and, you know, they'll come to me like professing that they want to get married, and you know, it takes me a whole reading just to break that stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
I have to show it to them. You know, I got to illustrate to them, you know, you know, here you are spending your time with a married guy. People who want to get married don't do that.
Yeah.
or an otherwise unavailable person. See, that's the whole thing. So basically, you're not available right now. See? Now, you could change. I mean, you are an Ace of Clubs after all, and there's a theory with Ace of Clubs that they're looking for the perfect person, and if they find them, they can be happy with one person.
Yeah, and one of the things that terrified me when I first got the book was reading that, and in that little profile it says that if you, you know, if you're not that person that the Ace of Clubs is, you know, head over heels in love with, then you might want to question whether or not you should be together, or whether, you know, you're being used, basically. And at the time, I really thought that he was that person, but then I realized after reading that and contemplating it that he wasn't, and it almost, like, hit me like a brick in the head, you know, and that's kind of almost where the seed was planted, you know, and then, you know, really looking over what I want and realizing that he's not a part of that. It's been a pretty transition time for me, but...
You know, Nicole, you're only 19 years old. You know, I think you're way ahead of the curve in terms of knowing yourself. But there is still, even though you are ahead of the curve, there's so much still for you to learn about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, we always think we know stuff. You know, I don't care how old I was, I always thought I knew everything, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Looking back, I look and I go, I didn't know crap, you know. I thought I did. So, but you know, you're way ahead because you're looking at the cards and the system, and this is fantastic. You know, that you're learning about yourself very quickly. And, you know, every experience is an opportunity to learn some more. So this is another experience for you. So, you know, maybe this one didn't last. Maybe you'll meet somebody in the future and you'll go, oh, my God, I do want to settle down with this person. And maybe that'll happen. Maybe that'll happen for a year, maybe 5 years. Who knows? But, you know, there's a lot more to discover about you. You've just kind of started.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for answering my questions, and I'll keep in touch.
You're welcome. It's great to have you call in on the show. I see you got a Five of Spades in Venus right now, so there you have it. There you have it. That could be the change that's happening right now.
Yeah.
It's all going to be good. It's all good, Nicole. All right, well, thanks for calling tonight. It's great having you on the show. All right, good night. Okay, we have another call, but we're going to take a break. I'll come back. We'll talk to Suzanne from Newport Beach, whose birthday is August 4th, 1952. But first, we're going to take a break, and we have two lines open if you want to call. And on this break, we're going to listen to the song Krishna Lullaby. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Suzanne and whoever else calls in. And thank you guys for calling. I appreciate it. Be right back.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita,
Welcome back. That was Krishna Lullaby from my CD, Bhakti Rock. If you like this music and like to get a copy for yourself, you can go to my website, seventhunders.com, and there's instructions there how you can order one on the front page. Our next caller is from Newport Beach. Her name is Suzanne. She's a Leo Nine of Diamonds, born August 4th, 1952. Are you there, Suzanne?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you, Suzanne?
Oh, great. I wanted to call tonight especially because I thought your message this evening was so fabulous and so important, because I was catching myself complaining or not focusing on the good. So I'm really glad that you had that tonight. And
well,
I appreciate
you,
that.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
I mean, it makes such a difference no matter what card you are, if you have a good attitude, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, today with all the stuff happening with the, you know, with the markets and everything and the economy, I think it's even more necessary that we practice gratitude, you know, and looking at things in a positive way. Because we still have so much to be grateful for.
I know. And what you said about, you know, just the thought and our power of our word, and I caught myself saying something unkind about somebody, and I'm just so grateful that you reminded everyone, but especially me, to catch myself and see how that relates to my world, and that makes my world not great, you know, by putting negative things in there, in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that so much.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Now, the reason I'm calling, though, on top of that, is I'm going into Saturn, my Saturn period, coming in March 1st, and so I'm a little concerned about that, because every time I think of Saturn, I go crazy, and I just wondered if you had anything to say about that.
Well, the cards you have there, you know, you have a Ten of Clubs and an Ace of Hearts. Now, do you know any Ten of Clubs people? I mean, are you connecting with any Ten of Clubs people in a personal way?
Oh, yeah, that's gonna look real quick. Well, I have one friend that's a Ten of Clubs, and then a brother that we're not speaking.
Uh-huh.
And he's a Ten of Clubs.
So this might, you know, this looks like, with an Ace of Hearts there, it kind of looks like you wanting somebody to be nice to you and they're not, you know? It's kind of what it looks like. Now, it's not necessarily somebody you know. It could be somebody you haven't met yet. Ace of Hearts and Saturn is, it's not the worst card to have, basically, but it is like kind of a loneliness, you know? Feeling kind of lonely. Or it could be just about one particular person that, you know, is not giving to you the way you'd like them to or want them to. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it's something that you already know about. Maybe it's somebody you haven't even met yet. Are you single now? Maybe you'll meet somebody and you'll want to be with them, but they won't want to be with you or something like that. I don't know what your situation is.
I'm single.
So it won't be the best time for love and romance, probably. Okay.
Okay.
You know, so if you have that, if you have that kind of, not that you should try to create that, but if you're just prepared for that, then it won't be such a big deal when it happens.
Okay.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, this also could mean you working on a project and working very hard to get something done that you want to get done. It's important to you that it involves information or getting the word out to the world. See?
Well, yeah, I am finishing up a project that's going to go that time, and I think it finishes up in May. So it's, you know, March and April.
Yeah, so you might be working really hard on that, and that's, you know, that's a positive thing, see, even though it might be more work than you thought because it's in Saturn.
Oh, right. Okay. Saturn always gets me upset because it's such, you know, cruel and mean. usually.
Well, I understand that you would interpret it that way. Believe me, I do. I think I say similar things myself sometimes. But, you know, it's a part of life, and it's important, and it always has a good outcome. That's what it's put that way. Always
okay.
has a good outcome. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, something we need to, if Saturn is hard for any reason, it's always because there's something there for us to learn. It's not always hard, by the way. You know, sometimes it's not. You can't say it's always hard. It depends on us and how far we've gotten with certain lessons in our life. And then the truth comes out about it, if it's difficult or not. See? So.
Okay. And then Uranus, that period that goes...
I'm sorry, go ahead. What did you say?
Unexpected? Uranus is the time that's unexpected or upheaval?
It can have the quality of things happening unexpectedly. Yes, that's part of it. But it also is a good period for spiritual things, for work things. It's a good period for networking with people. It has a lot of benefits, the Uranus period.
Okay.
You know, and it's a big improvement over Saturn in terms of usually you're liking what's going on.
Okay.
A lot more, you know, generally. So Uranus, these aren't bad Saturn cards. Ten of Clubs is actually usually pretty good. You know, that's a pretty good card to have. The only downside is that you work much harder than you expected.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you. Every Monday night, I wish your talk was longer because they're always so interesting and informative.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that feedback. I really do.
Maybe I will talk longer
sometime.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate everything.
Okay.
And I know
you're
everybody else does, too. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Our next caller is from Missouri. Her name is Brenda. Her birthday is September the 19th, 1953. Are you there, Brenda?
I don't know if you're talking about me or not, but I'm from Springfield, Missouri, and my birthday is June 21st, 1959.
Oh, well, I guess Seth might have got the birthdays wrong.
I'm confused, because that's pretty much typical of my life.
June 21st, 1959?
Well, I'm a Nine of Clubs birth card, and I'm a Nine of Spades planetary ruling card. And,
okay, gotcha.
I'm sure you do, I'm looking right now at my life spread cards, and everything is just pretty much pushed down one thing from each other. And, you know,
yeah.
and I've read about, I have known, and was made privy to your books about 10 years ago, and I've consulted with them ever since, and I've actually held classes with people, turned them on to it. I have a gift of remembering everyone's birthdays, and I'll get in touch with them. I've never charged anything, and I will get in touch with them and tell them things and stuff. But I've always been concerned with my life because I know both of them, you know, it's the universal knowledge cards, the universal whatever, and I know my Pluto card on my Nine of Clubs is the Jack of Spades, which is the actor card or whatever, and also can have a problem on the negative side of being kind of a maybe fibber, liar, whatever, actor. I've had that problem throughout my life. I've been married and divorced twice. And and I know my Pluto, like I said, is six of spades on the Nine of Clubs and eight of clubs on the Nine of Spades. And if you look at the horoscope side, I'm a Gemini, 21st. But then Cancer, my Mercury's in Cancer, so it's like in my rising sign Sagittarius, and yet my birth thing is Gemini, and I'm just, it's like everything is at odds. It's all opposing, and I feel sometimes, I mean, I really feel like an old soul. I've been told, I don't know about what you feel about channeling or whatever, but I've been told that I've been around for, you know, longer than there, and and I feel this way at times. I feel like dirt. And I'm just wondering. I mean, I hate to say this, but I read your chapters on nines and everything and all this, but I've just never, you know, I've always kind of wanted to talk with you, and I've always wanted to get your software and stuff, and I wanted to do this professionally with people because I feel such an affinity for it. I feel like in maybe a past life I've done this because the first time I picked up your books and read it, it clicked. And I can look at people, you know, and just kind of guess and tell, you know, and then immediately tell them about themselves, and they're just like, whoa, that, you know, whoa, you pegged me, you know.
Well,
but
you know, that's a great thing. Now, is your name actually Brenda? Did I get the right
name? My name is Brenda.
Okay,
but
good.
I'm sorry. I've just been driving. This is one of my problems.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's great for you to call. Thanks, Linda. And, you know, I think it's wonderful that you're into the cards and that it's, you know, something that you do really well. And I think you should definitely share it with people in your life and keep doing what you're doing. I think you're on track with all that.
Well, I do that. But what I'm asking, I'm about to turn, my birthday, like I said, is June 21st, 1959. I'm about to turn 50, which is very traumatizing. I know that you're a queen of diamonds, and I think you're a few years older than me, right?
Yeah, I'm 55 years old.
Okay. I knew you were a little bit older than me. And I know that you pointed out that the queen of diamonds is one of the hardest cards. And of course, I know the three of diamonds is really one of the hardest cards, and I've met quite a few of those. The Nine of Clubs, you know, I've never met anybody that had the Nine of Clubs and the Nine of Spades. And I feel like I'm like almost doubly cursed. But in a way, I know it's almost a double blessing.
The nine gets fulfillment by giving. That's the thing, see? They can't ask for things for themselves. It's kind of a curse and a blessing at the same time. It's a universal card. See, it's not a personal card.
Right.
Like I'm an Ace of Diamonds ruling card, and aces are all about themselves, getting what they want.
Right. My sister's an Ace of Clubs, and she's so
A nine cannot do that. A nine receives only by giving.
Yes. Well, that's what I felt all my life, and I want to do that, but I have been, like I said, I've been divorced twice. Not too long ago, I was diagnosed bipolar, which I don't think is really accurate. I think it's because I talk fast. I was told I think on like seven different levels at one time. I mean, I'm just constantly thinking about everything. And my main thing, though, is that I want to help people. I want to, and at times I do feel like I'm like spreading seeds and letting people know about possibilities of, you know, what their life, maybe why they're meeting these people, why they're with these people. And I feel like maybe I am doing good. But then I get into those negative periods, which it talks about the nines, and I sit there and think, oh my God, I'm not accomplishing anything I'm supposed to be accomplishing, you know. Take me out.
well, you see, everybody has those negative conversations. We all have to deal with that. So everybody I know, including myself, we all have some negative conversations that we run about ourselves sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yep, but don't you admit that possibly nines or worse?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, that's kind of
what... I've had some good friends who were double nine, Nine of Clubs, Nine of Spades.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Were they screwed up as I am?
Well, I mean, you know, they had their own little challenges in life, but there was a lot of goodness there, a lot of happiness in giving to people, too, see? So,
well, that's one thing that I have seen, and it says, you know, once you rise above your negativity, and then, you know, my Queen of Happiness, I mean, the Queen of Hearts is my karma card, and I have been prone to, you know, kind of being a little bit lazy and everything, and I did go through a very, I hate to say, promiscuous period, you know, with Two of Hearts being my Phoenix card and everything. It's kind of like, hey, baby, you know, I like the romance, but, you know, once we get to commitment, you know, it's a bad thing.
Well, you know, you have this giving nature, which is nice, and you also have this other karma that you brought with you, which all Nine of Clubs have, and it's like too much emphasis on sex and romance, okay?
Yes.
Okay?
Well,
so
you
have
that.
That's your thing, okay? I mean, okay, maybe it's not happening now, maybe it'll happen again in the future, whatever, but that's just part of your karmic package that you have to deal with, and it doesn't have to be a problem, you know, you can just deal with it when it comes up, see?
Well, I've tried. I've really tried, you know, and I see, like, right now, I'm in Saturn period, and I've got the Ten of Diamonds and the Five of Hearts, and I know Five has changed, and it's my loving thing, and that's been going on for a while, because this guy that I've been seeing, basic reason I hate to say that I go and continue to be with him, and he's a Six of Clubs and an Eight of Hearts, and he just, from the minute he met me, he was just, oh, I want to marry you, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and I just, right off, was like, you know, hey, I like you, love it. But then it kind of stopped me and everything. But anyway, he's got two Shih Tzus, which I've never had any children. And that's another thing that's bad. And these dogs are like my children.
You know, it's only bad if you, it's only bad because you say it's bad. And I don't even know if it's you saying it. I think it might be a tape you're running from somebody else, like your parents or something. Somebody told you it's bad. I know lots of people who've never
had it. Also, I wonder if it's not fair, if it's unfair to him. Because, I do care for him, and I love him.
Well,
I love everyone I've ever been with. I mean, I'm
well,
we
all
love everyone.
Okay, look. We all love people that we're with, like we love a dog, you know? we love all of them like we would love a puppy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's not the same as being in love with somebody.
Right, exactly.
Love with him or you're not. And if you're not in love with him, that's okay, but you can at least be honest about that. Hey, you
well,
know,
I try
I'm
to,
not,
but he doesn't seem to want to accept that. You know.
Well, he has no choice.
Yeah. This is true. That's what I tried telling. And then he wonders why I don't really want to have a sexual relationship with him, and it's just that I don't feel that way toward him, you know.
Well, you know, if he's persistent, you might give in. He's open.
This has been going on for like 6 years.
Well, he's not giving up, is he?
Well, no, he's not. Like I said, he's the Eight of Hearts, so he's trying to be that emotional king there. Woo!
Well, you know, you got to give him credit for trying, you know.
Well, yeah, I do give him
that. But you always have the power to say no, and you may change your mind. I mean, you could change. Who knows? He's hoping you will, right?
Well, you know, I noticed, you know, it says my Pluto card on the one thing, on my main birth card is the Jack of Spades, and that is, you know, trying, and I do this, and I hate to do it, but I do a lot of little fibbing and white lies to people, especially, you know, if it avoids hurting their feelings, you know, and I'll,
right.
I'll maybe say something that's not quite right on, you know. And I'm like, well, is this what I need to change? And just be up front and tell people, you know, hey, that looks ugly, and, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's terrible, but, you know.
Well,
hey,
you do have Saturn
anyway,
rising, and Saturn is like to blurt out the truth. You know.
Do what?
You do have Sagittarius rising, and Sag rising likes to blurt out the truth. So
I know, that's a terrible thing. My grandfather was a preacher.
It's not a terrible thing. It's a great thing.
Well,
it's great to be around Sagittarians.
Yeah. They're never hiding
anything from you. They're telling you the truth. They're not doing it maliciously. They're just being honest.
Well, see, I've had people tell me I scare them because I just blurt out the stuff, and they're like,
well, then have them go. Have them go
so well, or
well, have them go somewhere else where they're not so scared. Then,
well, they usually do.
Takes care of itself. It's not a problem. So listen, listen, Brenda, I'm going to have to let you go because I have another call waiting.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But it's a pleasure talking to you, and
well,
feel free
to
call
you
again.
Too, and I would really love to get into your programs and stuff like that. Of course, I'm here in Missouri, so I don't think you really have much going on here. But
I would love if you
did have a workshop here, it would be awesome.
Well, I'll let you know if we do, Brenda.
Okay. Well, thank you so much,
right.
Robert. I've like I said, I've known about this for 10 years, and this is awesome to talk to you.
All right, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Well, that was a lively conversation, and now I figured out who's born September 19th, 1953, and that is my good friend Bruce, who's calling from Portland, Oregon. Are you there, Bruce?
I am here, Mr. Robert.
Hey, how's it going, man? Good to hear your voice.
It's going good. I heard you talking to the young lady about Five of Clubs and Fives, and so I thought I would check in and, you know, give my two cents.
Oh, cool.
So, and and maybe get get 4 cents in return or something.
Yeah, because they're not going to actually a lot of five of clubs tonight, so you're like the third one. So like,
really?
Maybe you can enlighten the other ones who've called in on what it's like to really be a five of clubs.
Oh well, I wrote down one of my favorite Mae West quotes. If he's dumb enough to leave you, be smart enough to let him. And so that's kind of we could transfer it to the young lady. If I'm dumb enough to leave you, please be smart enough to let me. You know?
That's great. That's great.
You know? I mean, it had to come from a five of clubs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
We've had so much fun every time we got together, Bruce. I miss you.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry we missed when you came up to Portland last time and we couldn't
get it. It was too quick.
Yeah. It'll be next time. So just in looking at my so what's with all the hearts for me this year? First of all,
the most important thing, Bruce, is that you displaced the Queen of Hearts this year. Which is like a kick-ass position because you have the King of Spades in Mars, and you're in Mars right now.
Yeah.
I hope you're doing something with all this power you got right now.
It's good for power, good for work, good solid work stuff, and good solid relationship stuff. I've been with this lady for Queen of Clubs, Aries, for about 3 years now, and she's kind of making moves toward, oh, let's get together, you know, let's tie the knot, and I'm still, you know, I'm the same age. I'm 55, and I don't, you know. I'm a five of clubs.
Yeah.
And she knows. She's a queen of clubs. She knows about the system. She knows. She brings all her books to her friends and stuff like that. And so she knows that she's pretty unmarriageable herself, as you quote unquote, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah.
You know, we've been avoiding the big, you know, the big talk, and she's gone through a relationship. Divorced about a couple of years ago, so she's been kind of coming out of that, and you know, I keep on reminding her I'm a happy five of clubs, just the way I am. Trying to remind her, you know.
Yeah, and you know, you're really good for transition people.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's absolutely true. I find myself going through a lot of people, you know, in terms of transition and vice versa, you know, so,
Yeah. Well, what's so refreshing about you, Bruce, is that you're a five that knows himself and is not trying to be something else, you know what I mean? It's so refreshing to be with to talk to a five who really knows that they're a five, you know?
Yeah.
And they're okay with it.
Yeah.
Instead of making it into something bad or wrong or something, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the happy five of clubs that you wrote about, 10, 12 years ago, right?
you were in the first class I ever taught practically, that training that we did in Sedona.
That's true.
That was quite a crew there.
Long ago.
Quite a crew.
So anyway, good to talk with you, buddy.
Look at that Queen of Hearts you have in Uranus. There's a Queen of Clubs underlying it, so I don't know.
Yeah. So what does that mean? I mean, okay. So that ties in with my girlfriend.
Well, a Queen of Hearts like that could mean a new love relationship with somebody, possibly.
Uh-oh.
But then I see her card underlying it, so that I don't know for sure either way.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
There's not a definite thing there. So I guess it's still a little bit up in the air, basically.
Okay. Well, of course. Everything's up in the air, Robert.
Oh, really?
Everything's up in the air. You know,
when you're a five, you
mean. So what is this?
This is a good year. This will be a great year to get involved in a legal matter. You would kick somebody's ass.
Good.
You know?
Good.
OJ, this is OJ's year card. Remember, this is what OJ had the year he won the trial.
Oh, okay.
He displaced the King of Hearts, and he had the King of Spades in Mars, so he, like, totally kicked butt.
Well, I don't have any legal stuff going on, thank goodness, right now. I'm not paying my lawyer this year, so I have a lot of money to spend on coffee. And you know probably what that means, but I mean it's great, it's wonderful. So, So, what is this fellowship thing that you've been talking about? Should I get on your website and find out more about it, or kind of what's this?
Yeah, I mean I think you would love it. We're a great group of people. We're all sort of committed to the card system as sort of but not just the cards, but the spiritual principles that are underlying the system. You know, that's what we're about. And we're growing. We've had a lot of new members come in just lately. We have a yearly intensive. It's somewhere in the U.S., which gives you an excuse to travel.
Sure. I always need one of those.
And you'd be great in this group. So if you want to read about it and pop me an email, I'll call you sometime. We'll have a chat about it.
Sure. Let's do that.
I'd love to. Just remind me. Send me an email, and then we'll set up a time, and we can have a chat. And then I'll give you all the details, and you can decide whether it's the right thing that you would like to do it or not.
Sounds great.
Love to have it. I think you'd be fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
You're pretty much like the members that we're already in. And, you know, you have the same feeling and basic attitude about the whole thing. I know you really well, you know.
Excellent.
I've known you for a while, so it will be fantastic.
Okay. Well, we'll get together on that.
All right. That'll be great, Bruce. I look forward to it.
Okay, man.
Hey, man.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling tonight. Appreciate you sharing your stories.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. We had so much fun together, Bruce and I. Every time we've gotten together, as you can tell, he likes to have fun. He's a fun-loving kind of guy. Okay, we're going to take a break now. The lines are open. If anybody wants to call in, now is your last chance. We have time for probably two more callers after this break. On this break, we're going to play the song Shri Ram, and when we come back, we'll be taking your calls if you call. So this is your opportunity. We'll be right back after Shri Ram.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Rama,
Welcome back, everybody. That was Sri Ram from my CD, Bhakti Rock. I want to thank everybody who participated tonight and called in. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed talking to some of my friends and people who called in who are sort of regulars now on the show. I want to thank you guys for participating. It was a lot of fun. And we're going to end with just a little bit early tonight, and because we're out of callers and it's time to go. So thanks again for calling and being on the show, all of you who did. And we'll be back next week, same time with a new show. So we'll see you next Monday night. Have a wonderful week. Good night and God bless.
Om Purva Swaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yo Na Prachodayam Om Bhurva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yo Na Prachodayam Savitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo-yonat-prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo Yom Na Prachodayam Om Guru Bhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yom Na Prachodayam Om Guru Bhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam
Maryam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Deyo Yona Prachodayam.